7, Stan Phillips.
Mansions of glory and suicide machines sprung from cages on highway nine, torn with human ticket and stepping out over the line. Good morning, Met fans, and happy Tuesday to you. How you doing? Hope you had a safe and happy 4th of July. Enjoyed some fireworks. If you watched the Met game yesterday, you saw a little bit of fireworks too. Some home run fireworks. Yes, let's talk all about it. The Mets beat the Cincinnati Reds 7-4 on Monday night with the help of the long ball and some solid pitching. After stranding the bases low in the first inning, which was not a good sign, the Mets made up for it in the second inning off the bat of Brandon Nimmo, hit a three-run shot that gave the Mets an early 3-0 lead. It was Brandon Nimmo's sixth home run of the season. And what a way to start the game. Now, former Met Brandon Drury burned Met starter Taijuan Walker for a three-run bomb of his own in the third inning. And that nod just scored three apiece. And the good thing it was only the only really blip on Taijuan Walker's performance, as he turned in a yet another strong start. Walker finished his night going six innings, giving up three runs on four hits, one walk, and striking out nine. His ERA in his last five starts is 2.25. Now, in the fifth inning, the Mets retook the lead thanks to Francisco Lindor's solo home run off of Red starter Hunter Green, who has struggled mightily to keep the ball in the yard during his rookie season. The Mets added two more in the sixth inning on Dominic Smith's two-run double that gave New York a 6-3 lead, which is all they would need. For good measure, Eduardo Escobar added a run-scoring single in the seventh. Every single starter in the lineup had at least one hit, as the Mets pounded out 12 hits and went 4-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Drew Smith led up a solo shot to Nick Senzel in a shaky bomb the seventh inning and was visibly upset between innings, but Holderman and Seth Lugo, nice to see Colin Holderman back by the way, closed things out to give the Mets their league-leading 50th win of the season. So a very, very good night in Cincy. Good way to start the series, and hopefully we can get another series win against the Reds. And we got Mighty Max going tonight. Now, here are some of the audio highlights from the game.
Slider his first time. And he hits this slider in the air to deep right field. Back goes Almora to the track. Back at the wall. It's out of here. Brandon Nimmo clubs a three-run homer. And the Mets jump in front 3-0. Flies this one to deep right field. Back goes Marte to the warning track. Back at the wall. And it's out of here. Brandon Drury ties the game with an opposite field three-run homer. And it's 3-3 in the third. That's drilled to deep right field. Forget that. Lindor gives the Mets the lead. He cranks one into the seats in right field. Number 13 for Francisco Lindor, and it's 4-3 New York. Again, the 3-2. And he gets it in the air to center. That'll get a run in at least. Back goes Senzel, and it beats him over his head. In comes McNeil. Canter around third. He heads for the plate, and he will score. Dom Smith hits one over Senzel's head for a two-run double, and it's 6-3 New York. That's lined the other way, a base hit for Escobar, and that'll chase home a run. Lindor in to score. Escobar's going to try for two, the throw to second, and he'll be out. And
he dropped the ball.
Dropped the ball. And he flies this one out to right. Well hit. Back goes Marte near the wall, and it's out of here. Nick Senzel goes the other way for his second home run of the season. And that cuts the Mets' lead to 7-4. And Schrock hits a curveball down to Alonso. He makes the diving stop. Lugo covers, and the ball game is over. And the Mets take the opening game of their series in Cincinnati with a 7-4 win.
So there you have it, some of the audio highlights from yesterday's game. Big win for the Mets. And like I said, schedule's a little bit easier next couple of weeks, so hopefully they can get things going and build up some more lead against the Atlanta Braves, who have been tough. They've been resilient, those Braves. But the good thing was, Taijuan Walker, again, has continued to be the ace of the Mets staff, while Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom have been out. Now, here's Taijuan Walker talking about the improvement of his slider and adding that to his arsenal after the win over the Reds.
Definitely tired, but it's good. You know, it was the offense did their job. They picked me up there after I gave up the 3-1 home run. And, you know, after they picked me up, got a couple more runs, I was able to just settle in and kind of cruise from there.
That's 4 or 5 starts. You've struck out way more guys than you had been early in the season. What do you attribute them to?
The slider, probably. You know, I've been throwing it more. I've been working on it a lot lately in the bullpens and stuff. And I think I had 3 or 4 strikeouts on the slider today. And it was good. You know, my splitter wasn't very good today, but I was able to get my slider going. And then the fastball was working well for me today, too.
What is your first half this season compared to the first half you had last season?
I think about the same. You know, I just feel like things are more consistent this year with all my pitches. You know, I feel good, healthy, so.
Sounds like last season, do you think you've built a case for yourself for another All-Star nod?
I mean, yeah, I think so. You know, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. You know, being in SoCal and L.A., you know, kind of where I'm from, that area, that'd be cool. That'd be fun to go to. If not, I'll gladly take the 4 days, too.
What nice is it on a night when you don't have your splitter that you have another pitch that you can lean on to get through season?
Yeah. And that's why I've been working on the slider so hard, just because if my splitter isn't there, then I have that other pitch that I can throw, get swings and misses with, and, you know, get weak contact with. You know, I still threw the splitter just to show it to them, but wasn't getting the swings and miss and wasn't able to get it in the zone. So, but having that slider today was helped me a lot.
You mentioned feeling more consistent. What is the key for you to kind of pull this through now to the second half in the way you weren't able to last year?
You know, I kind of know what I went through last year, the ups and downs. You know, my mechanics feel good. I feel like I was tinkering my mechanics all last year. They feel really good this year, just simple. My glove movement, I was doing a lot with that last year too, and, you know, I fixed that after the San Diego start. So I just feel like things are just more consistent this year, just overall.
Just given the inconsistency of the rotation, the injury spots starts here and there, how much did you want to step up during that stretch?
I wouldn't say to step up, just more just kind of just keep within myself. You know, I didn't want to go out there and do too much, try to take over for, you know, a Max or a Jake. You know, those guys are in a league of their own. But I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can do when I'm healthy, when I'm feeling good. And I just, you know, try to stay within myself. I don't try to do too much. I don't try to strike out 15. If they're there, I'll take them. But, you know, I just try to go out there and try to go deep in the games.
So there you have it, Taijuan Walker. And what a well-spoken man he is, and what a great, he's really flying under the radar. He has to be one of the top 5 Mets this year so far. A lot's been talking about, you know, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, but Taijuan Walker is up there. He has been a savior. And the one thing this team has needed since DeGrom and Scherzer are going down is pitching. It has deteriorated a little bit. Guys who have picked up the slack can't do what DeGrom and Scherzer did, but Taijuan Walker has, and that has been a blessing in disguise. And speaking of Jacob DeGrom, it looks like his next rehab start for the Mets will be this Friday. After he felt good a day after his first rehab start, Jacob DeGrom is expected to have a 5-day rehab schedule that would place his next start on Friday for the St. Lucie Mets. Met manager Buck Showalter said prior to Monday's game against the Reds. Now, DeGrom threw 24 pitches and 1.2 innings of work on Sunday and was hitting triple digits on the radar gun consistently. He finished his outing by striking out 5 of the 6 batters he faced. Showalter said, "It's coming out good. It's not because he's trying at max effort torque. He's just got a rested arm." The St. Lucie Mets, the club's single-A affiliate, will play the Daytona Tortugas on Friday in Daytona Beach, Florida. Don't you love some of the nicknames of these low-class minor league ball clubs? It all continues to go well. DeGrom is scheduled to return to the Mets in late July. So things are going good. Let's keep our fingers crossed on Jake. And what else is going good? Well, how about Dominic Smith? Yes, Dom Smith is starting to see improvement at the plate after tweaking his stance a bit. Since getting called back up from AAA, Dominic Smith has looked like a different hitter at the plate. The results on the field, well, they're saying the same thing. In 20 at-bats since rejoining the big league clubs, Smith has 7 hits, 4 doubles, including a 2-run double he sent to straightaway center field against the Reds on Monday. That extended the Mets' lead and gave them some breathing room. To be able to come through like that, it's definitely a good feeling and just a good sign that I'm able to stay in the legs and stay through the ball, he said after the game. Before being set down, Smith's struggles this season were well documented. In 86 at-bats prior to the demotion, the lefty had just 16 hits and was teetering on the Mendoza line for much of the season. No longer getting consistent playing time, Smith not only struggled, but publicly stated that he wanted to play someplace else so he could play every day. Instead, he found himself in AAA playing for the Syracuse Mets to try and find the stroke that once made him a top prospect. And although he still has a long way to go to put the first half of the season behind him, he's at least begun to show signs of life. Showalter said, "I thought since the day he got back that he had a different look about his swing and his hitting with some malice. He's getting in there and turning it loose and really going for it, but he's been a shot in the arm for us." Now, Smith credits his success of late to the change in his stance that he and hitting coach Eric Chavez, thought was needed, something they found by looking at old film with Smith when he was going good. And I'm sure that film was from the COVID season of 2020 when he was on fire. And Smith said, when I'm really feeling good, I'm able to kind of free myself up by having an open stance and obviously load my hips and then stay closed. And when I'm starting closed, my first movement is flying open. So I think that's what's helping me stay on pitches, stay through curveballs, stay through breaking balls, and hit the ball hard consistently. So it's good to see Dom back, and we really could use him. When he was hitting, he was hitting. I actually thought maybe he would even overtake Pete Alonso at first base. That's how good he was. So we'll see what happens. And we'll also see what happens to Wilson Alvarez this year. The Mets are going full steam ahead, and they've promoted him now to AAA Syracuse Mets. So he made a solid impression his first time out. The 20-year-old who has been tearing it up in AA Binghamton this season went 1-for-3 at the plate with a walk and an RBI in the team's 4-3 win. He even had a hand on defense, throwing out a runner trying to steal second base. And that's been the big question mark for the Mets. Can he play defensively well at behind the plate? So if he can, he is going to be a big boom to the Mets in the coming years. In 67 games at Binghamton, Alvarez drove in 47 runs while hitting 18 homers and 16 doubles. And he even caught Max Scherzer, who was making a rehab start. Now Alvarez and the Mets hope he continues to hit well for the remainder of the season while also improving his defense behind the plate. And I think we can all say that. Wouldn't it be nice to see Wilson Alvarez really take charge as one of the Met leaders in the coming years? Now, you excited? Tonight's the big night. Mighty Max comes back tonight. Now, for 47 days since Max Scherzer has pitched for the Mets, it's a layoff he still hasn't completely comprehended, but at least it'll include Tuesday when the Mets plan to remove Scherzer from the injured list to pitch against the Reds at Great American Ballpark. Don't you love the name of that stadium? It feels so Americana. Great American Ballpark. Scherzer said, "It sucked. Who departed as May 18th start with a left oblique strain. I had never done that in my career, so I want to be out there competing with the guys, especially when we are playing good baseball. I am happy for the success everybody's having. I just want to go out there and do my thing and be part of the winning as well." Scherzer's return is step one in the Mets' rotation becoming whole. The second would be the reemergence of Jacob deGrom, who threw 24 pitches over 1 2/3 innings Sunday at Single-A St. Lucie in his first minor league rehab start since beginning the season on the IL with a stress reaction, on his right scapula. Scherzer, 37, was anchoring the Mets staff with a 5-1 record and 2.54 ERA in 8 starts before the oblique injury. Scherzer said, "You try to disconnect yourself from the narratives as much as you can. Our job is to go out there and just play as well as we can, so my job is just go out there and pitch. I can't control everything else because if you start getting caught up in the hoopla, you get caught up in the hoopla. You go out there and do your job, and the hoopla takes care of itself." Now, Francisco Lindor told the Post New York Post last month that Scherzer and DeGrom can't be viewed as saviors for the Mets. Reminded that statement on the eve of Scherzer's return, the shortstop stood by his previous comments. One player is not going to make the team, Lindor said. It's not fair for them to come off an injury and make them be saviors. They're not. It's just that simple. Max is going to pitch maybe 15 more starts the rest of the year, and he is not going to go 15-0, and if he does, incredible. If he can come Tuesday and throw a no-hitter, but if we don't get a hit and score a run, we're going to lose the game or just tie the game. Lindor said he's happy he's back, and he's happy he's healthy, and he's looking forward to being out in the field behind him. Now, Buck Showalter joked that it seemed like Scherzer had been back for a while, given the amount of time he's spent around the team lately. What will it mean that Scherzer is again joining the rotation? Well, Buck said, let's draw out how effectively he pitches. I think just to have another piece of your team back, I think it's kind of an emotional lift for everybody. Max, it seems like he's been active for a while because he's been so involved in the team in a positive way. Scherzer's comeback tour consisted of two rehab appearances for Double-A Binghamton, where he built up to 80 pitches. That progression has left him in a position to pitch a full start for the Mets on Tuesday. Now, Scherzer left a positive impression during his minor league tour by spending $7,000 on steak and lobster for the Binghamton players. An added gift was earbuds for each player. Scherzer said, I have to give credit to my wife. I know going down there you get the food, but my wife was the one who got the earbuds. That was her idea, so she gets credit for that. So give Erica Scherzer a save on that one. Max started, but Erica saved, and that's good. So it looks like we'll have DeGrom and Scherzer back. Scherzer first and DeGrom coming up soon, probably by the end of the month. Exciting times for us Met fans. Now it's time for a shameless plug at his podcast. If you're not a subscriber, by all means, please do subscribe. We'd love to have you aboard. You'll be notified every time a new podcast comes up. We try to do one daily for you to meet your New York Mets appetite for Met information. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group New York Mets Baseball Way of Life, please do. It's our sister companion to this podcast. So check it out. Great stuff. Great contributors there every day. And it adds to your whole New York Met experience. Now it's time to reflect on this date in Met history. On this date in Met history, we celebrate two birthdays. The first one is the birthday of Jeff Innes in 1962. And the second one is the birthday of Dave Eyland, born in 1966. Dave was a pitching coach for the Mets for two seasons. And in transactions, the Mets signed Cleon Jones on this date in 1962. Cleon, a big part of the Mets' first World Championship. And on this date in 2012, the Mets claimed Chris Schwinden on waivers from the New York Yankees. So big days in Met history. And what's going on in that Facebook group we were just talking about? Well, let's dig deep and tell you what is going on. And as always, we're going to start with the Met Trivia and Jeopardy question of the day. Who is ready for that? I know a lot of you are. You always are. So let's give you the Jeopardy question of the day first. You know what? Let's give you the trivia one. We always do the trivia first, so let's not break form. Trivia question is, who was the last Met pitcher to pitch back-to-back shutouts? And the Jeopardy question, two clues as always. On July 27, 2017, was traded to New York Mets in exchange for Lucas Duda. And the second clue was underwent Tommy John surgery during 2019 during spring training, forcing him to miss the entire season. We'll lock in your answers, and we'll be back at the end of the podcast to tell you how you did. And now, as always, let us begin by going over some of the stuff that's being discussed in the group. For example, on this date in 1972, in front of a huge holiday crowd, back in 1972 on July 4th, Tom Seaver. Yes, Tom Terrific. Takes a no-hitter into the ninth inning for the second time in his career. After getting Dave Roberts to ground out to second base, Leron Lee singles up the middle to spoil the no-hit bid. Seaver had to settle for his fourth one-hitter when he induces the next batter to a game-ending double play. Oh, the heartbreak. Oh, the heartbreak. And just a reminder that the Mets MLB draft is going to be a big one this year. It kicks off 2 weeks from now, and the Mets will pick five times with the, and they'll have five picks in the first 90 picks, including two first rounders. They will pick 11, 14, 52, 75, and 90. And this could go a long way to forming the shape of the Mets' future. Let's hope it all works out the way we hope. And on this date in 1965, after homering twice in a doubleheader at Shea, Ron Swoboda passes Jim Hickman for most home runs hit by a Met rookie. Way to go, Rocky Ron. Everybody loves Ron Swoboda, right? And how about this date in 1962? Like I said, the Mets signed Cleon Jones. Now, let's not forget, in 1969, Cleon Jones hit a career-high 340 with 12 homers and 75 RBIs on the way to becoming a World Series champion. For all his efforts, Cleon was inducted to the Mets Hall of Fame in 1991. So that's some of the stuff that's being discussed in the group. So check us out. Every day we have good stuff in there for you. Every day. Now, I wouldn't lie about that. We also have a picture of a 1967 ticket stub from May 28th from the Lodge Reserve. I remember those rain checks with Mr. Met holding the umbrella. Those were good times indeed. Well, that's going to wrap up our podcast today. So as we always do when we wrap up. No, you know what? Hold on a second. I want to talk a little bit about Jeff Innes. So hold on 1 second. Unfortunately, we lost Jeff earlier this year, I should say. He succumbed to cancer, and that hurt everyone. He was only 59 years old. But what a career he had. He played five seasons in the minor leagues from 83-87, and he made his MLB debut on May 16, 1987 at the age of 24, pitching two innings, striking out three, and becoming the losing pitcher in a 5-4 defeat to the Giants. He also made the only start of his major league career on May 26 that year, receiving a no decision after surrendering two earned runs over four innings against the Giants. He subsequently posted a 3.16 ERA and 28 strikeouts over 25 and two-thirds innings pitched in his first MLB season. Innes pitched in only 12 games in 88 before being sent down to the minor leagues. However, he posted a career-best 1.89 ERA in the majors that year and was credited with his first major league win on June 4th against the Chicago Cubs. He started the 89 season with the Tidewater Tides and remained there until June when Terry Leach was traded to the Royals. Innes finished the year with a 3.18 ERA and 16 strikeouts over 39 and two-thirds innings. He was limited to three games pitched in April the following year before being sent to Tidewater. He was eventually promoted back to the major league roster in June and collected his first major league save on June 29th against the Reds. During the 91 season, he compiled an 0-2 win-loss record along with a 2.66 ERA and a career-high 47 strikeouts in 84 and two-thirds innings. He finished ninth in the NL in games pitched with 69 and became the first major league pitcher to appear in 60 games without recording a win or a save. This ironically factored against him during salary arbitration at the end of the season. Innes had a 6-9 record, a 2.86 ERA, and 39 strikeouts in a career-high 88 innings pitched in 92. He set a franchise record of 76 games pitched and finished 5th in the league in games pitched and 6th in hit-by-pitch with 6. Innes played his final major league game on October 2, 1993 at the age of 31. In a 7-season career, he posted a 10-20 win-loss record with 3.05 ERA in 288 games pitched. At the time of his death, Innes' 288 games pitched for the franchise was 12th all-time. So he is missed. He is missed. He had a tough go of it at the end, dying of cancer. There was a GoFundMe set up so they can bring him back home to Atlanta to spend his final days after spending time in Houston to receive cancer treatment. So rest in peace, Jeff. We all miss you. Now, as we wrap up the podcast, let us give you the Jeopardy and trivia. And yeah, Jeopardy and trivia answers. Sorry, it's Tuesday morning and I'm a little bit sluggish and I apologize for that. Again, the trivia question was, who was the last Met pitcher to pitch back-to-back shutouts? Well, the correct answer is Johan Santana, who pitched back-to-back shutouts when he shut out the Padres on four hits on May 26, 2012, and no-hit the Cardinals on and shut out the Cardinals on June 1st, 2012. Guess who got it right? Yes, our good friend John Tierney. He was the first to submit the correct answer. And the Met Baseball Jeopardy, two clues as always, on July 27, 2017. He was traded to New York Mets in exchange for Lucas Duda. He underwent Tommy John surgery during 2019, during spring training, and that forced him to miss the whole year. Well, the correct response to this one is, who is Drew Smith? Once again, congrats to John Tierney on being the first to submit the correct response on that one. So there you go. John Tierney wipes the board again. Way to go, John. And as always, that'll wrap up our podcast. And don't forget, big game tonight. Mighty Max comes back tonight for the Mets. And we'll be back here tomorrow to talk all about it, as always. And it should be a fun podcast tomorrow. Just talking about Max Scherzer makes me feel good all over. It'll be Max Scherzer 5-1, 2.54 ERA, going against Nick Lodello, 1-2 with a 5.52 ERA at 6:40. And the game will be broadcast on SNY, so check it out. It should be a good one, and we'll be here to talk about it all tomorrow. Reds come in the game with a pretty poor record of 27-52, and the Mets are 50-30. So enjoy your day. It's going to be a nice warm day in the New York area. Thanks for listening again, and let's go Mets.
Meet the Mets, meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really sucking the ball. Streets, where do they go? To meet the Mets! Oh, they're hollering and cheering and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! All the fans are true to the orange and blue. So hurry up and come on down, 'cause we got ourselves a ball from the Mets of New York Town. Step right up and greet the Mets.